Huge news, Wayfair shoppers. There's still time to shop Wayfair's Cyber Week sale. Thought the savings were over? Think again. Cyber Week, aka the holiday home stretch, is on now. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home, just in time for the holidays. Yep, even the big stuff. Didn't get everything on your Black Friday list? We got you. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Cyber Week savings. Shop Wayfair's Cyber Week right now through December 7th and save up to 70% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Muslims roll deep in UK. They're not going to do nothing. If they do anything, it's going to be all out war. There's no way.
They what? Say that. It makes me look like a linebacker.
Why? Because the shoulder pad looking
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, like that's crazy. This is another find from Ridgeway Plaza.
Which no longer favorite. Exists. Well, in its original state.
What do you mean?
Like they started cracking down on it.
Ridgeway?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You never heard about the crackdown on Ridgeway?
Are you talking about the time that it was like one of the Southeast Asian countries had their Independence Day and they were like...
Yeah, and I think since then they've did like... stopped any like big groups from basically if you're there with I think like 3 or more people or whatever and you're just loitering, like you're just hanging out, they'll like usher you out of the place.
Oh, I honestly, it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, there's been a whole fight and everything with the cops, not cops but like the businesses, because they're like, you're pushing away our businesses, all that stuff.
Huh.
Yeah,
interesting. Mm-hmm. Have you been yet?
No,
we should go.
It's not gonna be the same.
No, I think it will be.
Okay, we'll check it out. But I feel like it's lost its luster at this. Well, not lost its luster. It's been like forcibly. They've been forcibly displaced.
No, they have not. Have not. And you know what's crazy is, I went to ISNA, which is a mosque in Mississauga, on Thursday. So we're filming this on Friday. But I was there yesterday, and Abdurrahman Murphy, Sheikh Abdurrahman Murphy, was here from Dallas.
Yeah.
And he referenced Ridgeway so many times.
No, he didn't.
He's a fan.
No, that's just a new thing. Like, you know when, like, they hear, oh, like, this is the thing in this city. Like, how, I think in Dallas they have, what did they have there? They had that cafe there, the Yemeni coffee spot.
Qamariya?
Yeah, Qamariya. I'm sure that came up in all the sheikh's conversations or lessons back in Dallas. Ridgeway Plaza is probably the same thing right now.
I feel like he's been here a few times. No,
oh yeah, he's probably well versed with Toronto at this point,
so he knows Mississauga is where it's at. But also we have a Qamariya here too, and I went there.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I finally got to go, and first of all, it's in a cute area in Mississauga called Streetsville. Mm-hmm. But the actual coffee shop is like, Scarborough needs these kind of places.
Oh, is it like super chill and like almost like how we saw it last time in Dallas? I forget what that place was called.
Haraz.
Yeah, exactly.
Haraz was a nice place. It was like that place was dead. I don't know why. Maybe because it was like
Haraz was dead.
Yeah, when we went. Oh, you're talking about Crescent.
Maybe there's the one that spot? Was like no, there's one that was across the street from like a what's that place? It has its purple sign. Oh my god, I'm forgetting the name right now.
There was a coffee spot there.
Yeah. You know what? That's not important. It's whatever. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection Podcast. So we missed a week.
Yeah. But, you know, it happens, okay? And you guys already know at this point.
Yeah.
We're going to just stop addressing it. It's whatever. Okay. It's going to happen again.
You know, maybe if you guys get us to 10K, we'll be more consistent.
Exactly. Exactly. Make it our day jobs, and we'll never.
We would never. We would never. Clock in. We would be on our Zoom.
Exactly. Kay? And to do that, you know what to do already. Hit that subscribe button.
And?
Like the video?
Yeah.
Comment?
Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok.
Exactly.
At Cousin Connection Pod.
Exactly.
Okay, there you go. I just want to make sure did I ace the pop quiz?
You did. He was looking at me for confirmation. He was like,
and for real, I was like, is that what she's referencing?
Yeah, that was exactly what it was. Yeah, so this week we're not matching.
Oh, yeah. I actually picked this shirt up from a little, what do they call those things? A market? Oh, my God.
Not flea market.
It's like a farmer's market where like they have different vendors. Oh, it's like the St. Lawrence market.
Oh.
Yeah, but like without the clothes. Basically, yeah. It's basically
without the
like
food.
Without the food. Yeah.
You said without the clothes.
Without the food. My bad. There's a word for it. I'm just forgetting what it was. But I went to the Parkdale one. Unfortunately, there weren't like a lot of people, mainly because of what I was mentioning. Like the entrance didn't really make it look like. I feel like you need to work on that. But because there weren't a lot of people, we got to like, you know, have no interruptions as we kind of like looked at all the booths. It was kind of awkward though.
Why?
Because like when there's literally only like two or three people in there, like customers, but there's like 15 to 20 booths. Oh. Everyone's looking at you as you're walking through and you're like, there's one hijabi girl who was in there and like, I think we even mentioned like, hey girl, you got to know your market, because like she had a lot of like Muslim calligraphy.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
Stuff like that. It's really nice. But like the area itself, we were probably the only Muslims that whole area altogether.
They need to advertise it.
Yeah, but we got a couple things from her too. So like they're actually, the thing is that like even though there weren't a lot of people there, they had a lot of good stuff. Like we had someone there who was giving away like $10 drawings where basically they take a picture of you and they draw you together with your partner. Like me and Hanan got one together where they draw it to you within 5 minutes, they draw something for you. So we got one of those, and there's like some people selling sweets. But also the thing I was leaning to is that this shirt, I actually picked it up because they had someone who was selling like vintage shirts.
That's nice. I like it.
Yeah, so I got this one for like $20.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I got another one. This one was like Raptors. I've got one for Toronto. I mean, Blue Jays. Gotta rip my Toronto. I don't watch them, but you know, I'm trying to rip my city, okay? I saw this out immediately. When they heard the price, I was like, yo, get me both of them. I'm taking it up right now. So yeah, it was a really nice market. Like they had a lot of good options. There's one girl who did a lot of embroidery.
Oh, cool.
Is embroidery where you like, not embroidery, it's where you sew stuff.
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah, she did that where like she can make like custom figures of you. But embroidery.
Wait,
them.
That's not embroidery. Embroidery is like embroidery. Stitching.
Yeah, exactly. So what is it called again? It's called
sewing.
Sewing.
Knitting.
Yeah, we definitely know. Like we're podcasting. It's like 181 episodes, and we're already just messing up. We don't know words. We're forgetting
like
words.
Like ragdolls.
Yeah, but not like ragdolls. They sew them together. What do you call that?
A rag.
Knitting. Yes.
I said knitting.
Did you say knitting?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. You didn't hear me?
Guys, didn't I say knitting? I feel like I said it.
Yeah, but yeah. She would like knit like doll figures, and she can make like custom ones of you. And then she also had other things. She actually had like cat ones, and we're like, oh, you know what? We took a card because we're like, oh, we can like get one of our cats or whatever. So we were thinking about that.
Mm.
But they had a lot of cool stuff. But I definitely, that was one reason I was leaning to that is because this is where I picked up that shirt that I'm wearing right now. So that was fun.
Nice.
But yeah, I kind of went on a tangent there.
That's okay.
Let's get into the news side.
Yeah, this is going to be a news heavy podcast. So yeah. Listen at your own, not risk, but at your own leisure.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
I'm sure people are interested in like everything. Everyone knows half of these things that are going on, no? I feel like you can't miss half these stories.
Yeah, if you're online, you would have seen literally everything that we're talking about today.
And if you're not, you're learning something new. So
exactly.
Buckle up. But the first thing we're going to talk about, which is probably the biggest news right now. Should we start off with that one? It's the most controversial news.
Yeah, let's talk about it because I have some thoughts.
Yeah, so should I start it out here? So if you haven't heard, a big influencer called Charlie Kirk was unalive.
Is he an influencer? I thought he was like a...
What?
Someone part of the government. Is he not?
No, he's an influencer. Yeah. Oh. He's a talking head. He's a right-wing figure, basically, right?
Gotcha.
So yeah, Charlie Kirk was unalived intentionally by someone who... I don't even... Can we say that word? The Assassin's Creed?
You know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Basically, he got Assassin's Creed with a...
A pew pew. A big
and,
one.
Yeah. See how we're trying to like really just cut her out? Because we were actually warned that like
Orange Man is after us, okay?
Yeah. Apparently we were like, this is a thing where they said that if anyone talks negatively about this thing, like you could be put on the list. So, you know, we'll kind of walk on a few eggshells here, okay? Yeah. But yeah, he was unalived at one of his events that he was having in Utah, mm-hmm. where he's doing this tour where he goes around, he speaks to college students outdoors and like debates people. Basically, normally he'll debate people on the left. Actually heard that like, you don't only do that. That's the stuff that usually gets him popular, but he also debates like religion and
isn't he Christian? Anything. Or wasn't he Christian?
Yeah, but he also Utah's a Mormon state, right? And you know, Christians and Mormons, they also do have differences. So he'll debate that too. He'll debate anything basically that comes up to him. But yeah, so he's a very controversial figure, and this is like the norm now, but it was only crazy because this is someone who's like really big and has been blowing up and even getting who's becoming even more notorious online and in the political world as well recently. And he was on a big rise recently because he's been very close to the administration that's currently in America. But yeah, so this happened and like immediately it was twisted to basically fit anyone's narrative, mainly people on the right. But yeah.
It was crazy to me because I was just mindlessly scrolling on TikTok.
Don't tell me.
I saw it.
You saw it?
Like, did you actually see the video?
No.
It is insane.
As someone who's like chronically online, at least I'm not chronically online in other things. I'm only chronically online on TikTok.
Yeah, no, literally, yeah. I live on TikTok.
But I'm glad I didn't see it.
No, I saw it and I was like, oh, this cannot be real. Mm-hmm. And you know what's crazy mm-hmm. is... For the last almost 2 years now, mm-hmm. we've been exposed to some very gruesome and brutal scenes from mm-hmm. what's happening to the people of Palestine.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that our minds have just been desensitized to it, but our minds have been desensitized. Like, some of them, like, we've seen the most horrific, like, body parts annihilated, children with, like, limbs missing.
Let's not get too descriptive.
Sorry. But like, I'm trying to give you an idea of like the things that we've seen online, and you guys I'm sure have also seen these things, and you're horrified, mm-hmm. but because you see it so often, it's almost like, I don't want to say it's expected, but in a sense we're a little bit desensitized to it, which is mm-hmm. a scary mental place to be in. Like the things that they experienced are not normal, and the things that we've seen online is not normal. Mm-hmm. But to see this happening in a random state in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and this guy's at a university and he's just sitting there on the chair just talking and there's a crowd full of
people. It's the unexpected nature of it. Like, he's literally in a place where you would least expect something like that to just randomly pop off, right?
Right. And it just like, the accuracy is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, it was insane. Like, because the way that it happened, it looks fake. Like, it almost mm-hmm. doesn't look real.
Yeah.
And so... I saw that and I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then I came across this video. I have to play it for you. I sent it to you just so I could remember.
Please tell me it's not super graphic.
It's not.
Oh, okay.
I was praying that if this had to happen here, that it wouldn't be one of us. That somebody drove from another state, somebody came from another country. Sadly, that prayer was not answered the way I had hoped for.
So... the Utah government.
The governor
wild that he even said this publicly. Mm-hmm. Said after 33 hours that they were searching for the unaliver, mm-hmm. that he was praying that it wasn't one of us. Mm-hmm. And then you can see he tried to like backtrack it by saying, I was hoping it wasn't someone that was like from Utah. From this
state, yeah.
Get the F out of here. Mm-hmm. You know what you meant.
Or from this country.
He knows what mm-hmm. he meant. Yeah. And
I was hoping to blame it on an immigrant.
Duh. Mm-hmm. Not even just an immigrant, but like actually there was a black page on Instagram that mm-hmm. posted this originally.
Yeah.
And all the comments were saying like, thank the Lord it's not one of us.
Mm-hmm. But like the way this went about and like the fact that this is almost like a trend from what's been happening recently. Like, I think this is like the fifth mass unaliving in like a week.
Well, this isn't a mass one. This is just one person.
Sorry, it's one. But just like when I say mass, as in like it's within a big group. It's happening
with
a big group, right?
Yeah.
So it's like the fifth one this week, and it's always been, you know, a specific type of person that has
white on white crime.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
So and the I think the most annoying thing about all of this is that even though the trend has always been it's been a you know, a pale person, a white person, and they've been perpetrating all these mass shootings and or mass unaliving. I don't know if I can even say that word, but it's very iffy on YouTube these days. But it's always those people, yet for some reason they always go after the people of color or immigrants, yeah. Which is so weird. Like, that's immediately how they try to, or they go after just anyone who's this, like, this word they use, leftist. Mm. But I think they know what image people get in their mind when you say that.
Yeah.
So they purposely leave it vague without having to actually, like, put a face to it, because they know that the people that they're trying to reach are immediately putting a face to it. So that's why, like, there are people, there are other black creators on TikTok who are speaking out and saying, like, we feel unsafe now because these people are angry and they rarely ever take it out on themselves. They're going to take it out on someone who looks different from them and blame them for whatever is going on, even though it's, like you mentioned, it's literally what a white crime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's very ironic that, unfortunately, like, here's the thing, right? And I feel like this goes without saying, but in today's day and age, you kind of have to give disclaimers because everyone and their mama is hypersensitive nowadays. We are in no way celebrating his nor are we condoning it. Like, we're not encouraging violence by any means. Mm-hmm. However, we're definitely not mourning him. Mm-hmm. We're not saddened. And, like, the sad part is that, unfortunately, for his wife and children, like, he was unalived on a very public, in a public and gruesome way. But you know who else is unalived in a public and gruesome way? The people in Gaza, the people in Congo, the Uyghur Muslims, and the list goes on. We've talked about it for the last how many years that we've been on this podcast.
Did you even know who Charlie Kirk was before this?
I had no idea.
Did you know about all the things he said in his past?
No, I looked into him and I saw that he was a strong advocate for...
Is not real
and firearms.
Ironically enough, there was like a statement where he said that, you know, I'm willing to accept people being unalived with guns so I can continue to have them, or we can continue to have the right to have them. Basically, he's like, a few unalivings every year from guns is worth having them.
Well, you're now part of your stat.
Yeah, but it was interesting seeing with the reactions afterwards and how, like, it's almost like we're living in an upside down world, because when it happened, no one knew who did it at first, right?
Yeah.
But immediately the right, like all the Fox News, all these places, basically whatever, were essentially blaming it on the left immediately. Like, they didn't know who it was, whatever. They're making up their own narrative immediately and saying, this is the left's fault. We're currently at war, right? While at the same time, okay, they're saying we are now at war with whatever, the left.
Okay.
But at the same time, they're criticizing the left and saying they should tone down the rhetoric because their rhetoric is causing violence. I know, right? So, like, it breaks your brain.
That makes no sense. How
they can do these, like, they do these, like, mental gymnastics where they're saying that the left has this violent rhetoric, while at the same time espousing, like, violent rhetoric and saying we're currently at war with the left. It's like, are you at war with, like, are you guys, you don't know how to react to it. And I think maybe they do it on purpose that way.
They do. It's to confuse the enemy.
Yeah. And the thing is that, like, I don't know if
that's crazy.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if I identify fully with, like, the left. Well, Muslims are kind of in a weird place, right? Because there are certain things from both sides where, like, okay, you know, you guys got that, whatever. So we're in the, like, grab bag. That's why they say a lot of times, like, Muslims don't really fit with the current society. But that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just interesting seeing how it's being flipped. How someone who, in my opinion, like, after there was more information that came out, I feel like this is being done by people who just purely want chaos, and they kind of know what they're doing. Like, the person who perpetrated this act knew what he was doing by doing this and leaving it vague, or by I don't know if we could talk about the stuff that came out afterwards. We've already covered him being alive, but I think it's been Friday. And today is actually 2 or 3 days after it's happened. Yeah. 2 days after it's happened.
Yeah.
So they actually got the guy today And as they were like putting out evidence about this guy, or evidence that they found on him or in the area that he was dropped his weapon, whatever, they found these bullet casings. And there were certain things written on the bullet casings.
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't know this part.
You didn't hear about this part?
No. What did they find?
Yeah. So they found, and this is why I say like, this is kind of like the MO and like, this is a trend that's happening now, because he did something very similar to what all the other recent mass unalivers have been doing, right? Or I'll just say the words. The mass shooters have been doing recently, where they're like sketch and write things on either their weapons or the bullets. But the things they're writing a lot of the times are like nonsense memes. So a lot of these guys, in my opinion, what I was talking about this earlier with Hannah, it's like, I feel like a lot of these guys purely are after chaos and just want to stoke the fires between the left and the right, have no real allegiance to either side, and just purely want to see how far they can push this.
That's terrifying.
It is. And they, it, because it's so like, easy to do that, and they see, and you can see how easily they've twisted this and now even created more of a divide.
That's so scary, because mm-hmm. it's almost like they don't realize that you're actually like ending someone's life.
Yeah, they don't understand
the political viewpoints aside. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a human being at the end of the day.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, and there was actually a Muslim influencer I was listening to their opinion about it. And you know, they were giving the Muslim opinion on it, where basically it's like, in Islam, like, no matter what, it's wrong to unalive someone who's innocent or hasn't done anything to you, right? So from a Muslim's perspective, like, what was done was wrong. But like you mentioned also, is that like, there's, you can separate between calling out something for being wrong and how you feel about that person, because he has said a lot of inflammatory, like, we can go into the things that he said. He said a lot of like inflammatory things towards, let's go back to how you mentioned Palestine. It is not real, right? He literally denies the existence of Palestinian people and Palestine. He says it is not, he calls it Judea and Samaria. He doesn't even
consider, oh yeah, I've heard him say yeah, that.
He does not even consider Palestine to ever have been a place. So he's like, how can I even debate you if I don't even believe that this was a place? See, so he's super disingenuous on how he even approaches some of these topics.
Yeah.
He's also said the things that we mentioned earlier about like not having sympathy and
empathy.
Mm. Or maybe even sympathy, right? And how he believes that, like, you know, whether sometimes the cost of having guns will be some lives. And, you know, like we mentioned, he was one of the costs of those, right?
Right.
So he has said a lot of very inflammatory things, and there's a lot more. He said that, like, if his... Oh, yeah, wait, we don't want to get stopped at the border, do we?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Okay, let's not go any further.
Either way.
But, yeah, so...
But
those are reasons why, like, you can say something is wrong, but it doesn't mean you have to like show any type of like remorse towards this person or any emotion towards them. You can be like, oh, okay, they're alive, whatever. It's like, it was wrong, but it happened, and like, there are consequences to actions, and maybe this is one of the consequences.
Literally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he unfortunately is suffering the consequences of his own actions and thoughts and beliefs and the things that he was saying publicly. But now that this has happened, I kind of left that question for us to discuss. Like, do we think firearm laws will finally be reconsidered?
No. Not what? Even. Because you can clearly see, like, the narrative hasn't gone to, right after that, the narrative has gone to, oh, you know what, guys, we should probably pull back on the gun thing. It went back to immediately being like, this is the left going too far. Even though it has nothing to do with them.
What about all the mass shootings that happen and like...
They're never going to address the real elephant in the room.
So they're just going to continue to have annual mass shootings at schools where kids are literally getting unalived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, like, I think that should have... You should have already like expected that when the first one happened. When a school of literal like children were unalived.
Yeah.
And nothing was done. Not one law was changed. Nothing.
Here's the thing. I'm not saying like eliminate firearms completely. Mm-hmm. The law should just be a little bit more strict. Maybe the requirements of owning one should just be a little bit stricter.
Their solution would be actually to allow more guns to be out there and to allow everyone to have them in any case. Like, they can, like, actually, ironically enough, in that in Utah, and I believe even in that campus, they recently passed a law. I don't know if it was recently, but yeah, pretty recently they passed a law where basically you're allowed to bring a gun on campus. Open carry on campus.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so they're going in the opposite direction.
Like, I understand the right to, like, be able to protect yourself. That's mm-hmm. that's different. I feel mm-hmm. like Toronto needs that, to be honest. Out of all, like, when you hear about all of these, like, break-ins that have been happening. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about the guy that got unalived 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah, yeah.
The Muslim guy? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm not going to get into my own personal beliefs on what I think about firearms, but should Toronto have the right to protect themselves in those situations? Yeah, that's a whole different conversation. In terms of having open carry in a university campus, why would you need to? To protect yourself against a mass shooting?
Yeah, like, they're always thinking about that one, like, 1% case where you might need one when you're on campus. But even in those cases, I always tell people, like, okay, let's say everyone was allowed to have them, and you have a case where there is a mass shooter out there, right? And then everyone pulls out their guns, but no one knows who the shooter is. What do you think you're gonna have? You're gonna have a bunch of people who don't know who the shooter is and start just going at each other. Because when a cop is...
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Best Seller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
Running around a corner, and he sees someone with a gun in their hand. He doesn't know who the shooter is yet. He's going to automatically assume that you are some type of combative. He doesn't know there's multiple shooters. So it never, even in that case that they think is going to, they're going to be a savior or whatever, like, you can be quickly confused for the actual perpetrator and become unalived. So it doesn't even work in that case, or whatever case they're trying to bring up to allow them to have these weapons in school. So it's never made sense. And you have literally the whole world that's constantly cracked down on these things as proof for how effective they can be, how these gun laws can be effective.
Yeah, but like, think of like places like London. They don't have guns, but there's so many stabbings there.
How many mass shootings do you hear about, though?
Yeah, they don't have any mass shootings.
Exactly. So that's... And the thing is that, like, how are you going to regulate knives? Anyone could pick up one, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's also... It's not happening as often. And the amount of people you can even reach with a knife, you have to get up close and personal with that.
Yeah,
you can literally shoot from 30 feet, like how 200 feet away that they showed with that dude, Charlie, whatever. It was like literally a dot away, yeah, and you could barely see him, and he was able to do that, right?
That's because what I'm saying. The accuracy was crazy.
Yeah,
it was
crazy. But no, there's gonna be no laws changed, and that's those people, the people who are perpetrating this, know this. And that's why they're making a joke out of it, basically. Even if it's something as like crazy as unaliving person, they don't, because a lot of them are incels as well, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't even have that connection. They're so like disconnected from society that they don't realize the severity of what they're doing. Or maybe they do, but they just have gone so far off the edge that they don't even care anymore.
That's really scary.
Yeah. And like, I can even give you examples of the things. I think I was gonna mention this earlier. I can give you examples of like the things he was writing on. He was etching on these bullets. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have it pulled up here. Mm-hmm. So one of the things written on this, it almost makes no sense, but it says notices bulges. Ooh, ooh. What's this? He wrote that on a bullet case, the one that was used. He wrote that on it, right? And then the other thing he wrote down was, "Hey fascist!" with an exclamation mark. Catch, and then it has up. Up, right, down, 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 which is a command in a game called Helldivers 2 to call in basically the mother load of bombs, or like a bunch of bombs. Yeah. That's these nice. Are things that he etched on the bullets. Like, this shows you how unserious these people are and why I feel like their only goal is to create chaos. And then there were other things, like he wrote down the lyrics to Bella Ciao. You know that song? Like Bella Ciao. He wrote Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Ciao, Ciao. He wrote that on a bullet.
So, yeah, but you know what that's from? From Money Heist?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Apparently, it's also a resistance song in Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, also the last one, it says, if you read this, you are G-A-Y, L-M-A-O. I don't know if I can say that on here too, but yeah. So like, it's so unserious. And like, these are things that you like... How do you even explain this to future kids? There are people who are like, how do you even add this to a history book? Because a lot of people are saying like, this is the things that are going to be written in history books, right? But like to say that these lines are going to be written in some history book, like I can't even imagine them being added to it. Or do our history books stop at a certain point? Because like, I feel like it's gotten so ridiculous now. Like there's no reason. They should just like go from, what is it? 2020? Or no, when did COVID really end? Like 2023?
Yeah.
Yeah, like 2023 to like whenever this crazy timeline that we're on ends, they should just kind of like make that like a couple pages and be like, yeah, a lot of crazy shit happening here.
Well,
it's like, let's not get into this.
I feel like meme culture is so rampant.
Yeah.
Like, and it's part of social media that we always talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be included, but it'll also serve as like, maybe that was like something worth decoding, or they would make the connection of like, this song is related to resistance and that's why he...
I don't think it's that deep, especially with that first etching that I mentioned. Everything else below that just shows you how unserious they are about this. And they're like, they're really just doing it for the memes. Like they're literally unaliving people for the memes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some Discord group right there out there, or some Telegram group that's like cheering this on and, you know, making jokes about it, making memes about it.
They found some of his posts on Discord.
Yeah, see, so I'm telling you, man, it's all just incels who already to them, they feel like their life is already over. They feel like they have nothing else to live for. So why not just unalive someone and create chaos in the world? Because that's the only way they feel that they can have some impact. So they're just going to do that because it's like, what else are they? Their lives are already over in their eyes. So why not go out with a bang? Like some of them actually do by, you know, unaliving themselves. But other ones, like this one, maybe he didn't have the guts to do it because they're already like weak men, mainly weak men to begin with. So maybe he didn't have the guts to go through it, and, you know.
Not everyone would agree that he's a weak man, but, you know. So in other news, more tragic news to come. I feel like we're like news reporters at this point. I'm sure you guys have seen the name Irina Zarutska. Who was also unalived in the States on a bus in North Carolina. The footage of her is also online. And it honestly seems like a true random attack. Like, this person just gets up from behind her, stabs her, and then just walks to the front of the bus. And you can literally see her, like...
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Why are you watching these videos?
Because I was doing research.
You literally just watched someone get unalived, and that's not research.
No, but the video that they were showing, it, like...
Cuts off?
It cuts off before she stabs her, and then it shows her... And then it shows Irina, like, her react... It's actually a very sad video, because it was, like... She didn't even know what happened. Mm-hmm. Like, you just... She probably felt it and was like, what the hell? And then when she saw that...
She's bleeding.
She was bleeding out. She just sat there to herself and cried. And to see the other people on the bus, like... So here's the thing. In the footage, you see what happens to her. One man immediately... Like, the one who stabbed her just walks off, like, walks to the front. There's another man who just walks right by her. And then there are another lady also walks right by her. And then there are two other people that just, like, stay where they were. And so there's a lot of criticism that these people are facing now, because they're saying, like, oh, like, these people didn't even check on her. Like, she's just bleeding out and dying by herself. And, like, how inhumane is this? Like, they just did, like, just walked right by her.
I don't think that matters. Like, that's just that. Okay. That's just bystander effect.
Basically. It is. But at the same time, it's like. Happened so quick that I don't know, like, the other side of the argument was like, do these people even know what just happened? Like, yeah, you can see the blood is, like, literally all over her clothes and the floor of the bus. But these people are probably either scared for their own lives. And, like, if they try to help her, what if this person lunges at them? So, I don't know. Like, I'm just thinking about, like.
I don't think that's the important part of the story.
About them,
like,
not
okay, because, like, that's expected. People have, you don't know what you're, you could be one of those people. I feel like me or you, like, if that happened in front of you, you wouldn't know how to react either. You wouldn't know,
you wouldn't be able to tell me
right now how you would react in such that situation, because you haven't ever been in that situation, so you don't know how you'd react.
You're literally in fight or flight mode, even if you weren't the one that got stabbed. There's still someone that's a threat to your safety. You're in fight or flight, fight or flight mode. So you're either going to jump in and try to save her, or you're going to go and tackle this person. But you're, like, you're trying to, like, make this immediate decision of, like, is it worth me risking my life? Can I take this person? Can I handle it? That type of thing. Am I going to get support from other people on the bus? The other thing that I thought was interesting was how much they broadcasted this. And it's like, oh, that's her. That's a, like,
big thing. That's like the interesting part of the story, where how this is something that happened 2 months ago and they're currently using it. I feel like the right is using it as, like, a way to kind of push whatever narrative they're trying to push again, right? Because
it's always the right.
Things like this, and the thing is that it's always, like the last story you spoke about, this focus is always on the wrong thing. They're focusing on how, like,
how the black people didn't react.
Are they focusing on that? No, they're just focusing on the violence itself, like the violent act itself, and how crime is on the rise, and using this for their narrative on how crime is on the rise generally. But, like, things like this kind of happen all the time. It was really the what they should be focusing on is the fact that, like, this person has a history of mental illness. The officers that, not the officers, what would you call them?
The probation. The judges, the person that decides whether they're not.
Yeah, the judges and the officers, whatever, they're all warned that this guy was dangerous by his own mother. That said that he's been acting crazy. He's been saying and doing crazy things, and, like, he's a danger to society. I think they said he was arrested, like, 14 times before this.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, and it was a big, like, mishandling of justice, but also, like, just... How showing you how lack of resources led to this.
Yeah.
How if they had proper, like, mental health experts on their teams to be able to diagnose this person, or I think it would have been easy to just tell, like, this person was clearly not in their right mind. He could have been put in a place where he could have been taken care of, or he could have been watched over in a way that wouldn't allow him to just be out on the streets. Because you could see, even on the video, I saw it before everything happened, you could see that he was clearly, like, having some episode before that happened. He was twitching, he was moving weird, he was not acting like a normal person. So this is really just, it should be more, the narrative should be around how there needs to be more emphasis on taking into account someone's mental health and how to like properly book these people and like not just be like, oh, you know what, is we don't have enough time to kind of look deeper into this.
Yeah,
let's move on, just let him back out on the streets.
That's so, it's very sad, like mm-hmm. her situation as well. Like, again, it's very sad, and I feel like we in Toronto also have a mental health mm-hmm. crisis.
Unfortunately, it's something that's like looked over on almost every major level city. Of government or major city in yeah. North America. That's, it's not taken sad. As seriously as it should be.
It should be.
Yeah, I'm saying it should be, but yeah. it's not taken as seriously as it should be. Right?
Yeah.
And it's clearly like this thing wouldn't have been a big story also if we didn't affect, if we don't mention like the whole racial factor of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big black man with dreads. Like, this is their perfect, what are the caricature that they always have in their mind of like who they think is the aggressive people.
Yeah.
And then they have this, you know, this Ukrainian white girl
who left her country.
Yeah. Who left the country. You know, first off, they don't care about immigrants. They're now just using her because of her connection to whatever is going on in Ukraine and Russia, and also the fact that she's white and she was much smaller and she was viciously attacked. It's unfortunately how they're twisting this and not focusing on the right things, and like how everyone thought, you know, the whole racial factor and stuff has been long in the past, but it's never gone away, and it seems to even be getting worse now.
Oh, racism is like rampant. Mm-hmm. Like it's very, people are more open about it now. Mm-hmm. Actually, I've been getting a lot of these TikToks in the last like 2 days mm-hmm. warning the locals in London to stay, like Muslims, to stay mm-hmm. home, because apparently there's this like march protest that's happening mm-hmm. by right wingers.
Yeah.
And there were some voice notes that were leaked in their group chats, mm-hmm. essentially saying that they were willing to unalive any Muslims that they come across. Mm-hmm. For tomorrow, September 13th.
Yeah, I don't think Muslims rule deep in UK. They're not gonna do nothing. If they do anything, it's gonna be all out war. There's no way.
I don't know, because it depends on where they do it. It's like central London.
Yeah, like I feel like London can, out there they're more connected. I feel like the Muslim community out there, and they don't really take as much ish as they would like maybe here in Canada or in Toronto specifically.
What do you mean? Somalis run the streets in Toronto. But they would handle it.
They're not. Somalis are Somalis. Okay, it's a different. It's
like everyone fears them here.
No, but it's not. It's not that. It's like every community kind of looks out for their own. Like, it's not. I don't know how. Maybe it is like that in UK. I'm not sure, but I feel like the connection between the Somalis and the Bengalis maybe doesn't roll as deep as it does in the UK. Maybe the people in the UK can like give us more insight there. But like, do you feel like the different ethnic groups are a little bit more connected there? Also, I feel like because it's a more smaller city it's a more dense city, so everybody's kind of more closer together, more on top of each other, at least from what I've seen. So it might be a little bit segregated, but at least you're not like, it's not like where you have like Pakistani and Bengali and like Mississauga, and you have like the Somalis in Etobicoke.
No, but like, it's like if mm-hmm. push came to shove, mm-hmm. I think Muslims, regardless of your ethnic background, would mm-hmm. come together to support each other.
But okay. I'd like to believe that.
If it really came down mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
But so, it depends on what it is.
In this case where they're literally being threatened mm-hmm. and they're being warned to stay home because there's a potential violent outbreak that could happen.
Yeah. I'd like to believe that.
I don't think
Toronto specifically.
Yeah, Toronto, UK, wherever. Mm-hmm. But even in Toronto, I really don't think
if they're threatening like a Somali mosque or something.
We'd have to pull
ain't
up.
Nobody, yeah, ain't nobody, yeah. You know. Ain't nobody touching that place, but I don't know. It depends, I feel like, on the community. But that's just my opinion, okay? It could be wrong, right?
You are entitled.
I just feel like I feel like the UK is a little more like tight-knit, or like more like they, you know, they got more group chats together.
Well,
their group chats connect. Ours don't as much.
We have a lot of UK listeners. Are y'all okay? Because mm-hmm. you're going to be listening to this after the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
So. Let us know what's the tea, what happened.
No, I trust my UK Muslims out there. They'll be okay, okay? Yeah, don't worry about that. Inshallah. But okay, to go back to
the rise of racism.
Yeah.
Blatant racism.
Yeah. So this is just another kind of like notch. They're trying to turn the notch a little bit more, or the knob a little bit more, to turn up the racist rhetoric, basically. And this is just a story to kind of, you know, add on top of that when it comes to Irina Zaruska. Right. And they're just going to keep coming out with stories like this, you know, because like I mentioned, this came out like this happened like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And it's coming out now for a reason. Like these things don't just blow up for no reason. Right. I feel like a lot of times these things are brought to the limelight when they feels like it can fit their narrative and push a certain idea they're trying to get out there.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. But, you know, at least in other places in the world, there is a lot more union not going on. Yo, shout out to our people, the Ethiopians out there. We did something. No.
Oh my god. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, there you go. After 14 years and $5 billion invested, Ethiopia has finally completed its dam. There you go. Yeah, so this has been a big thing. A big investment for the country. And we've been hearing about it for a long time. There has been a little bit of controversy, but we'll get to that later. Okay. Let's talk about the positives right now.
Let us talk.
You know, as we've visited Ethiopia, you haven't, I don't know, maybe you've experienced it too, but like in Ethiopia, when we were there, like they were experiencing like rolling blackouts.
Oh yeah.
Almost all the time, because the city itself, like essentially Ethiopia only had enough power to like power up, I think, like 45% of the country.
Crazy.
Or like 45 to 55% of the country.
Mm.
And they would have to like constantly have rolling blackouts. And even the capital, Addis Ababa, they're having rolling blackouts in like the outskirts of the city for the most part. And like you would be going like 8 to 10 hours without power just so they can kind of keep the grid going or keep things going.
Yeah. Don't you remember all those times? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know about you, but I was definitely woken up at the crack of dawn, and my aunt would always, especially when we were in Diredo and it was hot.
Yeah.
And my aunt would be like, wake up and take a shower now before they turn off the electricity. You're not going to have cold water. And I was like, fine.
See, so it's definitely been a big issue in Ethiopia, and it is a big issue for other reasons I'll get into. But now they finally completed the dam, and they said this will basically provide the additional power that Ethiopia needs to be able to power 100% of the country and then some.
Yeah,
so they're going to be able to even get additional power, which they can use to invest back into the country. Because when you have a surplus of power, now you can invest in newer technologies. You can develop more, right? Because you're not trying to ration as much.
Right.
When you're rationing, you can't really think about investing in new technologies and developing more, because you kind of have to deal with what you have right now.
Exactly.
But this opens up a lot more doors for the country.
Yeah.
And also people who have never had electricity in the past in Ethiopia will now, you know, with the infrastructure being built, they'll be able to, hopefully with the infrastructure being built, because, you know, with all this going, with all this happening, we still have to remember, you know, there's a lot of corruption that goes on in these countries.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to call out certain names. Let's just say things do, you know, there's a lot of bureaucracy, okay?
Yeah.
But, inshallah, those people who have been wishing for power, like people who literally live like a kilometer outside of the main cities or the bigger cities, finally have at least the potential to get electricity now.
So that's a huge win. Like, imagine no longer having to use like manual appliances. They can use electric appliances.
Yeah.
This is inshallah going to be like a good thing for the country, and hopefully, because I know that they're also going through like a cost of living crisis. Like
So there are a lot of other things going on in the country that they still need to work out. We're always hopeful. It's definitely been like they've had a huge like downturn, at least economically, in the past couple years.
Unfortunately,
so that's been affecting them a lot. But this should hopefully turn things around for the country. I'm hoping for always, you know, better leadership, and hopefully they can work those things out, because like every other, all Africans know out there, we can be pretty tribal. At least the older generations can be a lot more tribal. I don't know about the younger generations. I feel like we're kind of more like, we're less on that.
You're pretty optimistic with that.
I guess maybe in the West, back there, I think they probably still have those ideas. Really?
It depends.
Okay. Well, I'm being hopeful. I'm being naive. Yeah. I just hope that they can work those things out, because the stories I've heard from how like petty this stuff gets, it does bring a lot of caution to what's going to be happening in the future. But I'm hoping for the best right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's also helped benefits like other countries, like other, now that they have a surplus, they can develop, they can invest in themselves, but also provide power to sell power to other countries around, surrounding them. But yeah, so that's all the positives that are going into this. But there has been a lot of controversy that even has been, it's been controversial even before or while it was being developed.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because this dam was actually placed over the River Nile, right?
The Nile River.
The Nile River, sorry. The Nile River.
Yeah.
Which, of course, everyone knows, the Nile River is a famous river that also goes past Ethiopia, but also goes to Egypt.
But doesn't it start in Ethiopia and then goes through Egypt?
Yeah, it goes up towards Egypt. And Egypt has been, I haven't looked into the science, okay? But they basically said that this will like affect their water supply significantly.
Will it?
That, you know, I'm going to take them slightly at their word. I just hope that like Ethiopia has taken some precautions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it is like, if I was Egyptian, I would be concerned. I'd be like, yo, like, we're going to lose like half the flow of water that we normally get, or the half the water that we normally get. Like, I don't know what they, there's probably a lot of things that they currently use it for, or that they're used to. There's a certain flow that they're used to, and to have that interrupted in some way probably will affect a lot of things in Egypt.
My assumption was that they no longer had control over the water.
What do you mean?
Essentially it's all about money, right? And that's why I assume that the government was like expressing vocally how
the Egyptian government?
Yes, the Egyptian government, saying like, you know, Ethiopia should suit up.
Yeah, so there has been a lot of, you know, rhetoric and a lot of, posturing going on about possible reactions to them finishing this project.
I will say, if Egypt wants to come for Ethiopia, just know the African nations will come together.
And, technically, they are Africa, but, you know.
They are, but like, they're in the north.
Exactly.
The rest of Africa will come together and support and unite. Yeah, you know, stand against the oppressors.
Like, the surrounding countries do benefit from it as well.
Of course they do.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting seeing what happens now that it is completed. Mm-hmm. Like, I was also concerned about like how this will affect them.
Yeah.
But now that it's completed and it's currently in operation, like, okay, let's see, what were they right about how this affects them? And is there like maybe a workaround on how they can kind of like, everyone can win in this situation?
They might like sell something back to them. I don't know. It looks like maybe there's an opportunity to make more money and to help the Ethiopian economy, but I don't know. President Abiy or whatever his title is needs to smarten up a little bit.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting seeing what happens after this. But I'm just happy that the country can start investing back in itself. I'm just hoping that a lot of the bureaucracy that gets in the way
don't get canceled from Ethiopia too. They're gonna ban it from the States, from Ethiopia. The man staying put in Toronto.
I just hope that can be worked out before, so this project is successful long term. Okay.
Yeah. In other corrupt nations.
Oh my God!
Just kidding.
Go ahead.
Not my segues. What's going on in Nepal?
I wish I knew the details.
I saw it and I was like, "Wow!"
I just know what's happening on TikTok.
Yeah, so same.
Essentially, the students or the young people in Nepal, they sing like it's a Gen Z revolution, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like Gen Z took down the government. That's the story that's going out there.
Props to you, Gen Z. Mm-hmm. That's all I got to say.
They've been pointing out a lot of corruption in the country. They're saying like, you
take notes, everybody. The rest of the Gen Z around the world, take notes.
I feel like Gen Z in the West is kind of cooked, but still Gen Z and the rest of the world. I still have hope in y'all, okay? Because we can clearly see, like, you know, they were upset with the government. The government was not listening to them. And the thing that really kicked it off was that, like, the government's reaction. Because the government reaction was immediately like, oh, you guys are protesting? Let's unalive a bunch of you guys.
That's crazy.
They started, like, opening fire on them. And I think it was, like, 19 to 20 people were unalived. in these protests. And at that point, it was like no holds barred. Like, even though after that, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I saw one of the like posts mm-hmm. that they lit the government's house on fire mm-hmm. while his wife was still inside. Mm-hmm. And then I also saw, I don't watch anime, but I saw on one of their like tanks or whatever they were using.
Yeah.
There was a One Piece flag. I know One Piece is like really big in the anime world. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, wow, this is really big
in the rest of the world, okay? Not mm-hmm. only the anime world, everyone.
What is
outside of the West?
Does One Piece, represent like revolution?
Yeah, it's like they're pirates.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I genuinely saw that.
Did you not see like the
I did, but I was like, did they edit that to have that? Or was that like the original?
Been like that. Yeah. Jolly Roger, like, man. Come on now.
No, but I was genuinely like, yo, these kids and their anime, bro. Everything is about anime. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow. They really thought that out.
Hey, it's Gen Z, I'm telling you. So, yeah, they did that. They burned everything down, literally.
I saw.
And to the point where, like, when they were burning down their parliament, there were people inside there that had to be, like, helicoptered out of
it. I saw that, too, yeah.
So that was happening. And
didn't the prime minister step down eventually?
Yeah, actually, the thing is that the prime minister actually stepped down before all that started happening, but it just wasn't enough. Like, there was just so much that was being unaddressed and being like, brushed over that they're like, nah, we got to take it all down. And the funny thing is that there was actually a new, like a temporary prime minister, whatever, put in place. And what's that sound?
Are you shit. Calling someone?
Oh, shoot. I'm pressing the emergency button on my phone. <back. laughs> We're good. But yeah, they actually elected like a temporary prime minister, a temporary leader for the country who's, I forget what the woman's name was. But the way they elected her was through Discord.
Yeah. What?
It was a Discord with 150,000 people in it.
Whoa.
Yeah, that voted for her to, wow. like, you know, become the interim leader, basically. So, yeah, it's just interesting seeing how, like, you know, Gen Z, at least in other parts of the world, that hasn't been completely, like...
silenced?
Not only silenced, but I feel like it's also... they're educated. Like, the government always will fear uneducated
that's very true
voter base, right?
Yeah.
Or educated base in general.
Yes.
And that's why a lot of times whenever there's a new, like, you know, whether it be a fascistic government or a a dictator who's in place or like trying to become a dictator, basically the first thing they go for are the intellectuals and the students. Because those are the people who are usually the best at articulating themselves and speaking out against governments and you know, converting people and convincing people about what's going and about what's going on and how they can change it. So it was interesting seeing that, like, they're the ones. This is an example of an educated base being able to take over and show that, like, you know, no matter how many people, no matter how powerful you think you are, like, the people are more powerful. These are people you work for. So, you know, if we don't like what you're doing, get out of there or we're going to take you out ourselves.
It's an inspiring story.
I don't think it's anything that's ever going to happen in the West because, going back to education, unfortunately, there's a literal quote from the Orange Man where he says, "I love my uneducated voters." Right?
He said that.
I think I'm mere paraphrasing, but it's literally almost exactly like that line. He loves his uneducated people, or whatever. And that's, I think, the goal of a lot of the American government in general, where like they don't want to invest in education because they know that if they invest in education and people and you have an educated base, they're less likely to continue to pull the wool over people's eyes and get away with what they want to get away with, right?
Manipulate the masses like that.
Exactly. Mm. Maybe this is actually like going to push other governments who are currently trying that, like here in the West, to keep driving at that because they can see what the consequences, in their eyes, the consequences are of having an educated base. But we're still happy for the people in Nepal. And I hope that whatever grows from this, whatever comes out of this, will be exactly what they're looking for. And they'll be like an example for the rest of the world on, what a true, like, what do you call it again?
When you're united.
Yeah, when a true united people look like. Yeah. What a true united people look like. Yeah. So yeah, that's what happened to Paul. And you know, we're kind of proud of them and hope that they can get whatever they're looking for. Mm-hmm. The thing is, I don't have as much details.
Yeah, I know.
On exactly like this step by step what happened and what they're looking for, but
right.
Still, at the end of the day, man, I'm never gonna go against the people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We are for the people.
Yeah. So the last, I don't know. It might be good news to Vongai guy for sure.
Yeah, good news for him.
So I don't know if y'all heard, but Neymar may be inheriting $1 billion.
Crazy.
Yeah, from a super fan. And like,
he had a billionaire super fan. Like,
the thing is like, okay, this story, let me tell you what it is first. So there's this billionaire guy. I think it's unnamed. I can't remember what his name was, but that's not important here. He's like a 31-year-old dude.
He's 31 and he was a billionaire?
Yeah. So he wrote in his will that like, if he passes away, his billion-dollar fortune will basically go to Neymar. And the only reason he gave is that I have no family. I have no, like, you know,
he didn't have a girlfriend, a wife,
no
nothing?
One. He had no one.
Damn.
But he was just such a big fan of Neymar that he thought that he could do better with whatever. He could do better with that money than anyone else that would take it.
Wow.
Yeah. But the reason that, like, now that came out, I was kind of sketched. I was like, this is kind of weird. It's like, okay, what's going on here? I wanted to figure out, like, did he actually accept it? But the first thing or the last thing that every article says is that, like, they've reached out to Neymar's team and he hasn't said anything about it.
He's trying to enjoy his billions in silence.
No. About, like, even reach out to get the money or whatever. Like, I don't think he's even accepted this money yet. And then some other articles were saying, like, it's possible that this person didn't even have $1 billion to give away. It was almost like a, if I have $1 billion. So there's a lot of, like, you know, sketchiness with this story. And there's not a lot of, like, big, you know, news pages that I saw that were picking it up, but it was all over TikTok, was all over YouTube. But I think it's interesting how, like, you know, on the internet recently, there's been this big talk about, like, parasocial relationships.
Yes. We've talked about that before.
You talk about that, right? Where people feel like they know someone.
Yeah.
Right? Because this person who has never had any interaction with Neymar, like, he's just a huge fan of him, and yet he was still willing to give him, like, it's like he could have given away to charity.
Yet
he felt like such a connection with this person that he's never met that he was willing to give him, like, $1 billion.
That's...
And it shows you how, like, the internet has kind of, like, warped a lot of people's mind. Because this guy was 31. So he grew up, like, around our age. Like, he basically grew up with the internet.
Yeah.
And I feel like that really affected his decision making. Do you not feel that?
If I was a billionaire, I don't care how much I admired a celebrity, I would never leave it for them. That's crazy.
Because I don't know how... You don't even know, like, if... Let's say he does have $1 billion. How did he make that money? He could have been just one of those really lucky people who had a bunch of Bitcoin initially and just won big on it.
So, I mean, maybe. Because
being a billionaire these days or being a millionaire these days doesn't mean that you're a smart person or you make smart decisions.
That's true.
You could just be lucky.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true. Or maybe he was tax evasion. I don't know. Do they have tax evasion?
I don't think... From tax evasion alone, I don't think you're making $1 billion.
No. I mean, like, tax evasion is what got him unalived. And...
That's the one thing part of the story. Is he still alive? Yeah.
Maybe that's why Neymar Jr. isn't coming. Is he Jr.? Yeah. Maybe that's why he's not commenting on it.
Let me see. Let me search that up right now. So, okay.
He's still alive?
No.
What?
So, another thing I just saw in here is that this story is from 2 years ago.
Why is it coming out now?
Because it says it was mentioned on a Brazilian TV show.
Okay. Recently.
First off, I also didn't know that Neymar was in Brazil.
Get the hell out of here.
I thought he was in Europe.
He plays for that. He's Brazilian.
I didn't know that. That shows you how little I know.
Amir, even I know soccer. That.
I did not know that he was on the Brazil. I thought he was in Europe this whole time. I thought he was playing for, like, France or something.
Amir.
Does he not play with Mbappe? I also heard, like, Mbappe talk recently, and, like, I didn't know he sounded like that. He doesn't sound like he looks. You know, someone, like, doesn't sound like they look. Like, I thought he spoke, like, proper English. You know?
No, he's literally French. Dude.
I thought he was a man from like the South, like South London or something.
What? He literally is a French name.
I know, but like I was so confused when I saw that because I don't know. You just make up things in your mind, especially when you don't watch the sport or you watch any sports at all. You kind of like put things together in your mind that may not be together. But yeah.
I so, mean, I guess. I don't
know. What would you do if someone gave you $1 billion?
You would never know, but there'd be signs.
Yeah, for real? That is a thing, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell a soul.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know what's funny? Hmm. I probably wouldn't either. And the thing is that, like, I don't know how much my life would change. Like, it would change, but not like you mentioned, there would be signs.
There would be signs, but I also wouldn't be greedy with it. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, to my friends and family, mm-hmm. y'all just gonna get a fat envelope and don't ask questions. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm gonna say to you.
Yeah.
I'm like, Amir, open the door. Amir opens the door to his house. Fat envelope shoved in his thing and close the door and walk away. Don't talk about it ever again. Yeah. That's it.
Hey, I'm taking it. I'm not asking any questions.
I'm just gonna be like, don't ask questions. Bye. That's it.
Yeah. You could be like, what's his name? Franklin from Snowfall. It's like, oh, okay. Where are you? It's like he becomes like a huge drug kingpin and stuff. It's like, you're mm-hmm. making your money off of drugs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was recently watching a video essay on it. I was watching a video essay on it, and like I don't know why that just reference came to my mind. Okay. But yeah, you just made a lot of money from that. But like, yeah. It's supposed to be secret or whatever, you know?
Right. But like, and so like I said, I would never talk about it. But there would be signs. Like mm-hmm. Amir and I would probably have the podcast on a random beach mm-hmm. somewhere, or we'd be in London 1 week, and then Paris the next week, mm-hmm. and then South Africa the week after.
Yeah,
and
we would just say, "Yo, these sponsors are really paying us well," you know. These secret sponsors.
We lie to you guys and tell you that it's all the green screen. Mm-hmm. But no, it's actually real.
Actually, yeah, low-key. These 180 episodes were just a setup this whole time to make it.
But yeah, maybe we'd finally start our merch at that point. Mm-hmm.
Finally invest in some good merch.
Like, excellent quality. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said, we wouldn't tell you guys.
Yeah.
There would be signs. We'd do random giveaways, mm-hmm. slip in a couple $1,000 inside your giveaway basket.
Wait. Mm-hmm. You just give it away randomly? I guess, yeah.
Like, to a giveaway?
I guess so.
Like, if someone's in need, like...
Oh, okay, yeah, you know? What? Sure. Couple yeah, I'm being greedy, but it's okay. Yeah, go ahead. It's $1 billion.
$1 billion? What are we going to do with all that?
Actually, another thing, a fat chunk of it. Another thing I saw recently on TikTok was there's a guy who's like, I'm making... like $100,000 to $150,000 a month.
I saw that too.
You saw that video, right?
Yes.
He said he's making $100,000 to $150,000 a month.
Crazy.
And he's like, honestly, after the $50,000 a month mark, like you just don't know what to do with your money. He's like, I could literally buy a Lambo every month and not feel it. Like it wouldn't be a thing. Right? And I have thought about that. I was like, yeah, really? Like, even as someone who also knows about investing and all those things, like let's say even if you made $1 million, you could literally just put that money into an investment account and live off the earnings from that alone, right? For the rest of your life. So it really, and it doesn't take a lot. And like at some point, what?
You know what I'm going to say.
What are you going to say?
I've said this one too many times on this podcast.
Same.
If you're listening, mm-hmm. you know what I'm about to say. An esteemed poet.
Oh my God.
An esteemed poet. Biggie Smalls once said, the more money we come across. Was that Nas? No. What? Was that Biggie?
Oh more my God. Money, more problems?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The more money we come across, the more problems we see.
He did say that. And I did forget about that aspect of it.
Yeah. Like.
But that's why you keep it a secret, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And it was hard to keep that stuff a secret, but...
You know when people won the lottery, they used to show up in, like, masks and wigs and disguises and stuff to try and hide it. But mm-hmm. then, like, people find out and then your house gets robbed. Mm-hmm. You know, you can probably get unalived. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it would if I ever did
make money, lawyering up right quick. I'm getting a lawyer ASAP.
Yeah, but I would hope that it wouldn't be from something like that.
Oh, yeah, no, not lottery. We don't do haram.
But not only that, it's like I just want it to be from something that, like, I built up, you know?
Oh, you want the money to come from your hard work?
Yeah.
You don't want the money to just fall from the sky?
You know what? I'm a liar. I probably would mind it.
Who's gonna say no? I don't want a billion dollars.
I'm trying to be realistic. Okay.
Yeah, be realistic in your desires.
Yeah. First off, you're clipping this mic.
Am I?
Yeah.
My bad. My headphones are so quiet.
You're getting louder as the episode goes.
I know, it's usually the opposite. Yeah, here, exactly. Let me talk from here.
Yeah, I realize you stopped yawning as much, you know.
Because I'm hyped up now, talking about money.
Is that what it is? That's what motivates you, huh?
Honestly, duh.
Okay. Women. See, guys?
Wow. What? We're taking it there.
I'll play.
Don't get us canceled.
I know.
Half of us, because, you know, I don't stand for what he says.
Yeah. But that's another thing to think about, guys. If you ever do just have money fall into your lap, immediately open up an investment account. Put that thing, you know, get someone who knows about investments if you need to, because you can easily make that, like, you can make that stuff grow to a point where, like, you can have double, depending on how you have it. How you invest it properly, like, you can have double that in like 5 to 10 years. Okay, mm-hmm. So you know, just think about the future. Don't lawyer be like people up, who get money and just spend it all immediately.
Lawyer up and get a good accountant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those are literally the first things I think about when someone say, "How would you do if you got this money?" It's like, I would double it up, you know, invest it immediately, start some companies, right? Make, you know, have some real, like, solid stuff under your belt. So, like, you know, if the market goes down, you have, like, these companies you invested in that are still, you know.
Speaking of investments. Be smart.
Diversify.
Speaking of investments.
What?
I have to tell you a story.
What happened?
Of a cousin encounter. What? That we're calling our audience cousins.
Okay.
So, I was at the mosque. Mm-hmm. And we had just finished praying, and then this beautiful girl came up mm-hmm. to me. She's like, "Sara, I actually want to come say hi to you." And I was like, "Yeah, hi." And mm-hmm. so we start talking, and she had told me that she was listening to our episode where I was telling my Umrah story, mm-hmm. and that inspired her to take her dad. So and her dad went in March, and mm-hmm. She actually ended up reaching out to Warsami to do the tours in Medina, yeah. And they loved it, and they had such a great experience with him. So I was really happy about that.
Shout out to Warsami. What's this page called again?
Abu Musa. I'll put it in our description. Mm-hmm. If you're in Medina or planning to go and you want to do like a tour of all of the historical Islamic sites, mm-hmm. by someone who has a lot of knowledge, mashallah, mm-hmm. hit up my boy Warsami. Yeah. I'll put his details in the description. That being said, that wasn't the point of the story. The point of the story is she brought up the third space because she's an avid listener.
Okay.
And she's like, "Listen, are you serious about that? Because mm-hmm. we really need a third space, like mm-hmm. somewhere where, you know, Muslims can feel comfortable." And like, yes, of course, Ridgeway has become like a third space to a lot of people, yeah. but it's so over congested mm-hmm. that it can be a little bit overwhelming, especially if you're not like a Mississauga local.
Yeah.
And you're just like coming from other parts of the city, like, it's a lot. Like, you'll see when we go eventually.
Okay. And you'll see how it's changed, but okay.
I don't know. Okay, we'll
I'm
see.
Just saying.
I haven't been in a few weeks, so I don't know.
I'll show you the stories later.
Show mm-hmm. me after. Yeah. But I was like, "Really?" And she's like, "Yeah, the girlies want the third space." And mm-hmm. I was like, "Let me talk to Amir." See how much money we have.
Yeah.
But yeah, we need to open up a coffee shop / podcast studio ASAP.
Okay, I'll think about saying. It. We'll okay. see. Yeah.
Okay.
What were we talking about?
No, I think we're done now.
Okay, but you know what? Before, you know, to get to that third space, we'll need y'all to invest in us. And one way you can do that is by hitting that subscribe button.
Okay? Wow! What a beautiful, beautiful segue. Oh,
make sure to like the video, leave a comment for anything that we talked about today, whether it be Ethiopia building a dam or all the crazy stuff happening down south in America. And also, yeah, Cousin Connection Pod on Instagram and TikTok. Follow us there. We post clips almost every week. If you've done all that already.
Oh, wait.
What?
Remember 2 weeks ago we told them to leave the emoji of the golfing guy?
Oh, yeah.
Which I forgot. So when I started seeing people leaving comments of the golfing guy, I'm like, "What? Why are they doing that?"
Oh, shit.
And then I kept seeing it. I'm like, "Did we tell them to do this?"
Yeah. How did you forget about that?
But what
I forgot about that.
What was the, like, what were they going to get out of it?
Huh?
What were they going to get out
shout
of
outs.
It?
Shoutouts.
Oh, okay. Let's do the shoutouts then, because there's a couple of them.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. And we forgot to shout out all the people that we left a special message for at the end of the podcast last week. So we're going to mention that now.
Mm-hmm. The first one is, Lisanne Mulder, 8821, was the first person to leave it. And I responded to her and I was like, girl, why are you leaving this golfing guy?
No, you didn't.
Well, I realized. I was like, oh, did we tell you to do this? My bad. next person is FA6534, who comments a lot, actually, on our video. So shout out to you.
And there's also Sarah9326.
That was me.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh, just kidding.
Okay. And then you mentioned Salama K.
Oh, yeah. Salama K.
Salama K is also out there. So shout out to y'all who are what?
And this person, Zach A.
Zach A. Shout out to all the listeners who are actually listening all the way to the end here. Mm-hmm. You know, where, you know, it's all usually the same, but we little, what do they call Easter eggs at the end here. Yeah. And we can actually give, should we put in another shout out right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel bad because, like, you know, the people who waited all to the end last week, who put the comment in there, now they're going to be the one who waited this week, so they're going to put the comment in there. But if it's a new one, you know what you should put in the comments? You should put
pancakes.
Pancakes. Is that an emoji?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Actually,
do Androids have that?
Let me check because I actually don't know. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me look real quick.
Girl, you didn't even check. You don't know?
Yes, it is. Pancakes is an emoji.
Okay, put a pancake in there. But yeah, other than that, I hope you all liked the episode. I hope you all did all the things I asked for earlier. If you didn't, just, you know, do it, man. Subscribe real quick. I'm just saying, okay?
It's free.
Exactly. Other than that, we'll see y'all next week. Okay, guys.
Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.